Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Well, as I was seeking the Lord for what He would have me share with you this week, He brought to mind was a brief comment that I made when I was ministering last week on being filled with new wine. We were talking about Jesus' first miracle at the wedding feast at Cana. And when I was speaking about this new wine that Jesus is giving to His church, at the Last Supper, He said, "I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And I just made a brief reference that Jesus was actually, by saying that, putting Himself on a Nazarite vow. But I didn't go into any depth or explanation. But I thought this might be a very appropriate time, especially if you heard that reference, to understand what the vow of the Nazarite was and what was the purpose of it, what was it all about, because we find that everything in God's Word, including the principles that are outlined in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, so many think, well, you know, we have a new and a better covenant based on better promises. Amen to that. But God has not changed. The God of the Old Testament is still the God of the New Testament. And the reason those were laid down, and the New Testament talks about it, for our admonition, for our understanding, for our learning. And so the principles that they embody, the spiritual truths, are always eternally significant. And so we're going to be spending some time looking in detail, what was the vow of the Nazarite? Was that just for a special group of people? What was it all about? What was the purpose of it? And so that's what we're going to do. And I will read the textual reference to it found in Numbers, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 8. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman," this includes the ladies, "shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord." Now it talks about a special vow. What is the special vow? The vow of a Nazarite. What was the purpose? To separate themselves unto the Lord. What we're talking about here is the principle of dedication or consecration. And that is something that God voluntarily offers to us. And he that has an ear, let him hear. Jesus said there were 30, 60, 100-fold Christians. And by our desire for the Lord, the things of God's kingdom, we make a choice. Maybe not so much with our words, because our actions speak louder than our words. So, at any rate, let me go on reading the text. It goes to describe what it consists of. "He shall separate himself," he or she, "shall separate themselves from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink." Listen to this. "Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried grapes." In other words, something that didn't even have an alcoholic content. "All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk." Again, this is stressing a spiritual principle of abstinence for a set period of time. And we'll go into that. And in verse 5, "all the days of the vow of his separation." Here it is referencing a specific period of time. depending on that which the person chooses, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy. This is a mark of being set aside, of consecration, of holiness, and shall let the locks of his hair of his head grow all the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord. Another stipulation, he shall come at no body, or come near, or touch any dead body. He shall not make himself unclean, because that's what would happen. It would take him out of this vow of consecration. If he wanted to do it again, he'd have to start all over. He shall not make himself unclean for close family members, even for his father or for his mother, for his brother or for his sister when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. Remember, as I was preaching last week, Jesus said, if you love father, mother, brother, sister more than me, you're not worthy of me. Well, he was not talking about he actually used the word hate, but not in the way that we understand it today. It was a comparison of the amount of fervor and love and desire that God is the most important being in our lives. And if we make him first, then all of our other relationships, that of spouse, that of parents, that of children, will be godly and righteous and reflect the light and love of God. So in verse 8, the final, all the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. So this is a very serious vow that was being made. And I'd like to just make a reference that Jesus made in the, it was Matthew, the 6th chapter, and I'd like to read verses 14 through 18. Jesus said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive them. Moreover, when ye fast, now this is why I'm sharing this, because in a sense, the Nazarite vow was a type of fasting, a type of abstinence or separation. When ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. All right, so what are we saying? We're saying that there is a principle involved, which is why the Lord spoke of consecration and separation, which the Lord spoke to Moses. This is under the law of Moses. And a Nazarite, someone who chose to take that voluntary vow, was a lay person of either sex, man or woman, who was bound by a vow of consecration for a specified period of time. In other words, that would be the decision of the participant, that person who wanted to set themselves aside, they would set a time. Some say that Paul had bound himself for a time by this vow of the Nazarite. There's references in Acts 18 and 18. And there are other references in Scripture. I won't take the time to turn, but if you're familiar of the life of Samson, of Samuel, of John the Baptist, they were Nazarites for life. In other words, that was something that was ordained. In fact, for Samson, the angel of the Lord spoke to his mother and said, he shall not drink wine all the days of his life. And apparently he never did that, but he did have his hair cut, and that was his undoing with Delilah. But we won't go further into that. So let's look now a little more closely at the Nazarite vow. That particular word, Nazarite, comes from a Hebrew verb, nazir. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's N-A-Z-I-R. And it means to separate or abstain. So The purpose of this vow, as we've been sharing, is to be separated or consecrated unto Jehovah, to the Lord. And actually, the law of the Nazarite was more strict than that which was placed upon the Levitical priesthood. What were the requirements of this law? There were three main ones. Number one, there was abstinence from wine, strong drink, and anything associated with them. Remember, raisins, grapes, even something that wasn't alcoholic. Nothing of the fruit of the vine. Secondly, the hair must not be cut, all during the time of the consecration. That was one of the God's set requirements, if you will. And thirdly, they must not touch or come near a dead body, even close family relatives. And this what was the purpose of this strictness? Well, it represented a spiritual condition. And again, as New Testament believers, we want to understand the principles and the spirit of what the Lord was saying. Not that we all need to, you know, abstain from grapes or wine or anything like that. Now, I'm not talking about the specific requirements. We're talking about the principles. And it represents a spiritual condition, which is freedom from the distraction of earthly ties. That's the first thing. They're separating themselves from the world and entire surrender of the heart and life to God. This is not monastic seclusion, as some through the ages, Middle Ages especially, they would just go aside to monasteries and devote themselves to the Lord. But for the secular person, it was active, uninterrupted devotion to divine service. It was an act of the heart, praise God, manifested in Old Testament times with specific desires and parameters. Well, we're going to see how this all applies to us, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow as I've been just giving an introduction, and we'll go into it a little more specifically and thoroughly. I thank you for joining me, and of course, if you have prayer needs, as always, I give an invitation for you to write and share your prayer requests. Only I answer the mail. I read, pray for you, and then we'll send back a personal answer that God gives me to bless you. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.